So before moving to another application, let me just mention that you could do the same a similar analysis. For instance, in case you have not two, but three, or even more media. Okay, let's suppose you have a point P in the first medium, you have a point Q in the second medium, and you have a point S in the third medium. In each medium, you move with a constant speed VI, okay, and you want a path that passes across each of the points. Okay? So, in each medium, you will move along the line. Suppose you have, you want just to move between two points, okay? It's easier, okay? You want to go from P to Q, but there are three media, or even more, okay? So, along the first medium, you move with a speed, along the line, and the given speed. In the second medium, you move along another line, and in the third medium, you move along another line, bringing to Q. Okay? Now you have to decide this point and this point. Okay? So, in principle, you have two choices. Let's say this is the point 0x and this is the 0x1. And this is 0, okay, x1, and 0, x2, or x and y, for instance. Okay? And you could say, you could give your travel function, your travel time function, and you wish to minimize it. Okay? Now you have two variables, so you will be having a problem in R2, okay? And the gradient will have two components. And so you will have two equations in two variables. Okay? So you will have a system of two equations in two variables. You can do it by exercise. Okay? I should also be having some examples on the computer when we will be doing algorithms, which show you how algorithms compute this situation, okay? This part, the best among these parts. But I want to completely change that, okay? I gave you a problem now in a mathematical framework, which has a number of valuable applications. The problem is the following. Let's suppose we are in a rank, okay? No, sorry, we are in R2, not in a rank. You can think something similar or in RM, but it's a bit more complicated. We have a number of points. Let's say if I have Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4, Q5, Q6, Q7, for instance. I have a number of points QI. Okay? I go, let's say, from 1 to k. points in the plane.
So these are points over two. Okay.
And then I have another set of the same number of points, let's say P1, P2, P3, P4, P5, P6, P7, and so on. The same number of points, PI. I would like to know how much these two sets of points are similar. Okay? Similar. Roughly speaking. Okay? Now I will have to say what similar means.
They have the
same number of points. Same number of points. I would like if these points are similar somehow. This kind of problem is called point pattern matching. Sorry? We have to state it precisely now. I just want you to tell you that this sort of mathematical problem has a large number of applications. Computer graphics, I guess you can imagine why. I want to... an image, okay? Band anime. Cartoon. Okay? Also in astronautics, this could be a snapshot of stars. This is another snapshot of the same stars, of the same portion of the space, taken, let's say, from a satellite, but the orientation of the satellite at the two moments in which the snapshot were taken were different. And you would like to understand how the satellite has moved. Or it has application in biology, in chemistry, in pharmacology, in which these are somehow representation of proteic structures or molecules. Okay? And you want to somehow understand how to align them. Or something more simple, fingerprints, okay? To identify fingerprints, the one you are taken from me and the one you take on from the desk. Do they match? Okay. Also, handwritings, okay? Have they been made by the same person? You could take points to represent each letter and try to understand if they have similarities. Okay? So, but from a mathematical point of view, it's just two sets of K points in R2. Okay? So, what do we mean by similar? We could mean a lot of things. Okay? Well, the first thing is, if I can overlap the two, so put one above the other, just through, let's say, a translation, a rotation, and some homothetic operation, let's say shrink or dilatate. Okay? So what I'm permitted to do is a translation. A rotation and let's say shrinking or dilating. allargare e restringere. Okay. I would say they are the same if through these three kinds of operation I can bring one set of points exactly on the other set of points. If I manage to take, for instance, P1 over Q2, P2 over Q3, P6 over Q5, and so on. Okay. So, if I'm able to move this point into this other point. Okay, this is a very interesting question. The answer is you can consider both cases. You may wish to bring the first point, P1, onto Q1, P2, onto Q2, and so on, or you are not interested in the order. Okay? It's enough that you bring each QI point onto one of the QJ points, but, of course, taking each point onto a different point. Okay? Both cases. And I will give you first the formulation for this second case and then for the other. Okay? There's a small difference, which is, by means, very relevant, anyhow. Because if the points are ordered, you have less things to take into account. Okay? What you need, if you do not consider to order, is permutations of the indexes. Otherwise, the order is given. Okay? So, let's see. Translation. What is a translation?
Well, in R2, I'm given a point. A translation is just replacing D plus with D plus some D,
okay?
Where D is a vector, is a given vector of R2. This is a translation. Translation.
What's a rotation? Well, rotation, you need an angle. Besides, if you rotate of, let's say, 45 degrees, 30 degrees, 90 degrees. So, here the parameter in the translation is the vector D. Okay? You have to decide which is D to make the translation. For a rotation, you have to decide the angle. And
so, you replace P by
A theta P,
where theta is the angle and A is the rotation matrix, which is given by cosine of theta minus sine of theta sine of theta cosine of theta. And theta is the angle, so you can take it. Okay? Any number. Actually, it would be enough to take theta from 0 to... It would be enough to take theta between 0 and 2 times t. Okay? But if you make 4 times t, it's just you're doing it twice the same thing. So, when you are able not to restrict, it is better you don't. Okay? Because I give you an information. Unconstrained optimization is easier than constrained optimization. Because you just have to take care of the function you want to minimize or maximize. The objective function. When you have constraints, you also have to take care of the constraints. So it is possible not to have a constraint. it's better not to put a constraint which means nothing. Okay? So, these are two are
exactly the same thing.
And then we are left with
an homeopathic transformation. Which means shrink or dilatate? Shrinking or dilatation? Well, you simply multiply your points for with some coefficient. Okay? You replace P.
So this is the part of a, this is a rotation. You dilatate, you make a homeopathic transformation, but just replacing
D by eta times P,
where eta,
is any number, okay? Actually, it's also, if you should take positive ones, okay? If you're negative, you're also switching the sign, so you're doing a reflection. But let's take it for given, okay?
So, and this is shrinking or dilating.
I want to use
these three kinds of operations. So, given a function, you can decide
the rotation, could be also zero. If to dilatate or shrink it,
and then
if to translate it or not. Okay? So here you're doing the three operations together.
And I want to show that this way we have all the possible combination of composition, of rotation, rotation, because they do not...
This two switch?
Yes.
This does not. Okay? You could also... but since you can choose any D you want, it is not relevant if you apply it before or afterwards. Okay? Because if you apply it before, it's just like doing, let's say, before a rotation, it's just doing using this.
If you first do this,
okay,
and then you apply a rotation, it's like applying the rotation and then translating of this vector here.
Okay?
Yes.
So, it's not relevant.
Good question. You cover everything, yes.
So, what are my variables? Okay.
My variables are the angle, this coefficient eta, and this vector d in R2.
So I have to choose d1, d2, the angle, and this coefficient. So I have four variables, four possible choices.
Eta, theta, d1, and d2.
Okay? the point is exactly the following. I want to apply this sort of operation to this point and move them onto this point. Okay? Now let me indicate by delta from 1 a permutation. Okay? Is it clear to all of you what this means? It means that this is a one-to-one correspondence between 1, 2, k with itself. Okay? So I want to know if 1 goes into 2, 2 goes into 1, and so on. Okay? So, I want to try to move p of delta I, let's say I want to move P3 onto Q1, okay? And I can try to do it with this sort of operation. So, I apply theta times the rotation, and then I translate. And I want to see how much it is different from Q1, from Qi. Okay? I would like to apply to this point, I would like to cover Q1 with P delta I. Delta 1, sorry. Okay? So, let's say, the easiest is the identity. I want to cover Q1 with P1, Q2 with P2, and so on. Another could be I want to cover, let's say we have our example with 7. This is I, and this is delta I. I want to cover 1 with 3, 2 with 4, this with 5, this with 1, this with 2, this with 7, and this with 6. Okay? How do I measure if this is a good cover, if I'm overlapping that? Well, I take the norm on the difference. Okay. And then, I take the sum all over the box. Okay? And from some reason I will explain you later, I prefer to sum the square of the distances. Okay? This is the measure of the distance that I have if I want to take the points Pi onto the points, on the points Pj onto the Qi according to this permutation with this angle, this coefficient of dilatation, and this translation. Okay? Well, then I have to... So this is a way to measure if it is good or not. And then I take the mean all over all possible permutations. When the angle, the dilatation coefficients, and the translation are fixed, I take the best I can do with all possible permutations. Okay? And this is a measure of how much eta, tan theta, and d are good. Okay? I would like this value to be zero. If it's zero, it means that I am able to move this point exactly onto this other point. Okay? So my optimization problem is to minimize this function f of these four variables, d as two components, okay? So if we want to write it explicitly, we can, d1 and d2, okay? And eta, theta, d1 and d2 are real numbers. Okay? This provides us the best way to overlap the two set of points. If the order is fixed, as Luis asked, I don't have to consider permutations. Okay? I just fix one permutation, for instance, the identity. Okay? If I know the order, this would be the I.
And considering the minimum of the permutation before the minimum of the order.
Yeah. Okay, they can be exchanged. Okay. My point is, for instance, when you're doing fingerprints, you can order the points, and you know the order has to be the same, because you take, let's say, from here going down in a precise order, okay, and you see. In that case, the function is a bit simpler. Let me write it explicitly. So this is let me put m hat to denote the difference. D2, if the points are ordered, this is just the sum of this quantity. The order is given, so now I don't have permutation. Okay. There are a few reasons why this problem is easier in this case. First reason, okay, the number of permutations is huge and increases exponentially. Second reason, I could show you, but I don't want to, a very simple example with two points in which this function is not differentiable. Okay? And the reason why it is not differentiable is that here you take this minimum in the definition of the function. Okay? If the permutation is fixed, you don't have this sort of problems. But here it is that you slightly change, let's say, the rotation, and the back permutation changes. Okay? This introduces some non-smoothness in the function. Okay? In English it's non-smoothness. No smoothness, in Italian it is qualche punto angoloso nel grafico della funzione. Okay? Well, in this case, this function is nice, is differentiable, and this kind of optimization problem is called least squares. Okay? Least square problem. Correct. In the very first lecture.
Yes.
I did.
Ah, no, yeah.
In the very first lecture I gave you some examples. Okay? This will be the first topic in the second semester. Yeah. This will be the first topic in the second semester, and you will have lecture both by Professor Bevilacqua and me on the topic. Okay? Professor Bevilacqua will focus on a case in which here the terms inside here are linear. This is a linear transformation. Okay? And I will take this result
and show you the case in which these terms are not linear.
Okay, so we will devote a couple of weeks to this particular kind of optimization problem, which is very widely used in economics. Okay, to try to build models of the behavior of some economical system, for instance, okay, or the relationship between different social or economic indicators. Okay, I will devote the last 15 minutes to another kind of application, unless you have questions. And this comes from another field. One of the nice things of optimization is that it can be exploited in so many fields. You will surely find some you like. This kind of problem comes somehow from logistics and are called facility location. Okay. Let me tell you the fairy tale. Okay. You have an activity or a commodity to locate in the space. Okay. Let's say once again the plane. And this will be a facility for a number of users. Okay. Which are located in different points in the space. And what you would like is to find the best location. Okay. And now you have to understand what location means. What best means. Very simple example, two simple examples. You have to build a new hospital. Where do you build it? In which town? In which village? Which village will rely on this new hospital? And so, which is the best location? A simpler example from probably engineering. You have to choose a place where to put a new antenna. Okay? And you would like a place in such a way that the places you want to serve receive the best possible signal. The signal won't be the same. For instance, you put it on Serra Mountain here. Okay, the signal won't be the same in Pisa or in Livorno. Okay, so you have to choose one point which serves different other points. Okay, what does best mean? Okay. I mean, this is a full area of research. There are people who study these problems. Okay, so I'm just giving you an example, the basis. If you see, let's say we are in a rank. Okay, we have a number of points in a rank. Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4, Q5, Q6, Q7, Q8, and so on. And you have to choose the location for a new facility. Okay? So you have to choose a point in the space. So what you have to choose is one vector of the space, okay? One vector in R. Well, which point do I choose? There are different ideas of what best means, okay? For instance, you could take
this is, no, let me write. This is the first question. Okay. Let's suppose this is an antenna or an hospital. I would like it to be as close as possible to everyone. Okay. So, for each point Qi, I would like to measure the distance between Qi and the point X I'm asked to choose. Okay? So, the distance. This one, this other one, this other one, they won't be the same. Okay? If I want to minimize the distance from a single point, I put the point here. Okay? If the hospital is just for Pisa, I put the hospital in Pisa. Okay? But since it is for a number of places, where do you put it? Well, one way is to take the sum of all these distances and try to minimize this sum. Okay? This is called the Weber problem.
Weber problem is explicitly with norm 2, or is it also with other norm or other distances, depending on the plane?
Other, sorry?
Distances.
This is a good question. I think that the name is originally with the Euclidean distance, okay? But it's the kind of problem. You sum the norms, okay? And indeed, if n is equal to 2 and the points are 3, this is the solution of this problem is known as the Fermat point, okay? And also the Steiner tree. So, Fermat point, Steiner tree. Yeah, but you have 3 points and you need to choose a point and then you take the distances and that is the tree. Okay, so you have the 3 points, you choose a fourth one and this is the tree. Okay? Bad news here is that we know that the norm is a convex function, so this looks good, but we also know that it is not differentiable. So this function, which is a sum of k terms, which are norms, is a non-differentiable convex function. Okay? So let's call me this F1. An alternative is not to minimize the sum of the distances, but the sum of the square of the distances. Okay? This problem is known as the centroid problem. The function is convex and is differentiable. So the centroid of Q1, to be precise, is the centroid of Q1, Q2, Qk. There's a third option, at least a third option, which says the following. Okay, I minimize this way, but there could be someone who is very unhappy because he's very far from the facility. Okay? Let's suppose, for instance, that the optimal solution lies here. All these are here and there is one is here. This will be very unhappy with this choice. Okay? So, an alternative is, let's take all these quantities. Okay? And let's take not the sum, but the maximum. of these quantities. Okay? And I want to minimize the maximum. I want the point which is the farthest from this facility to be as close as possible. Okay? And this is called the problem for the Chebyshev center. This is one of the many ways you write Chebyshev. I mean, it's Russian, so you will also find it with T of other writings. Okay, but it. So this sounds very reasonable, but once again, this function is non-differentiable because you take the maximum of a number of functions. Okay? I'll show you a very easy example. Let's take in R two parabolas. Let's see, for instance, this one, okay, and this other one. Okay? The maximum of these two functions is this. Okay? At this point, this function does not have any derivative, okay? Because the tangent here is done this way and the tangent here is done this way. So, once again, this is a convex function because it is the maximum of a number of convex functions, but it is not differentiable. It is not differentiable at the point at which the maximum is reached by two or more functions. Okay? Here, this is the point at which the maximum is given by both functions. Okay? So, with our tools, we can try to analyze the centroid problem. Okay? Because each problem is to minimize the corresponding objective function Fi on the whole space. Okay? Weber, you minimize F1 over the whole space. Centroid, you minimize F2 over the whole space. Chebyshev center, you minimize F3 over the whole space. But Weber problem and Chebyshev problem are not differentiable. Okay, so we don't have the tools. We have the tools for the centroid problem. So, it's a convex problem. So we know what? We don't have local minima, all minima are global minima. The two concepts are actually the same, and you need to find the point at which the gradient is zero. Okay? I leave you the computation as an exercise, but the result is the following. The gradient is zero at this point. 1 over k, the sum from k, from I, going from 1 to k of xi. Oh, sorry, not xi, qi. Okay? So, actually, you have a formula for the centroid. This is the solution of the problem. Well, somehow, think about physics. Imagine these are points, okay, all with the same mass, okay. This is the center of, the so-called center of mass, this point, okay. And indeed, well, might be some points are more relevant than others, okay. Here you might wish to add some positive coefficients in these two problems.
And this is another problem, okay? Let's say, for instance, these are cities. This could be the population of the city, okay? So, this, let's call this F2 in red. If we compute the point at which the gradient is zero, what you get is, once again, the center of mass. So, 1 over the sum of the weight of the masses, which multiplies the sum from for I to 1 to k of mi qi. Each point is weighted with its own mass, and then you divide by the total mass. Okay, this is the real center of mass. Okay. As we asked before, you can use different norms than this. And one example is the so-called Manhattan norm. Okay, you know how Manhattan is done? All streets are parallel and orthogonal. Okay? So the distance between two points is given, this is one point and this is the other, is given by summing this distance with this. Okay? So if you have two points in a rank, the Manhattan distance is this function. It's the sum all over all the components of the difference between the absolute value of the difference is yi minus xi. Okay? This is widely used by people working in location analysis. Okay? So, that is it. So now we take a break of 1 week for midterms, and then Professor Bevilacqua will start lectures of linear and nonlinear systems.